Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
Let's bow our head for a word of prayer. Most gracious fathers, we come boldly to the throne of grace through faith, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We love you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for your presence, the infilling of your spirit, the strength of your power. Father God, as we thank you and worship you this morning, this resurrection day, Lord, we come to you with great expectation, Father God, knowing we as men can do nothing, Lord God, except what we do through the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus. Father God, we thank you, Lord God, that this resurrection isn't a hope, but we know, Lord God, that it is a fulfilled promise, Lord God, and that you've granted us the spirit of resurrection, and the same spirit that dwelled within Christ Jesus dwells within this mortal body, Lord God, and raises it up from the dead. Father God, we love you and we thank you. Again, with a great expectation, minister to your people. Encourage them, Lord God. Give them hope, strength, salvation, Lord. We thank you in the wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You can all be seated this morning. I hope Easter Sunday isn't the only time that you frequent the house of God. Amen. There's many times that people go to services on Easter Sunday. They feel an obligation to be in the house of God on Easter Sunday. Well, I'll tell you, Easter Sunday would be a day to bring forth great judgment in that case. If that's the only visitation people find themselves in the house of God, they come to receive nothing but more than judgment. Amen. Because the things that they hear, they will be accountable to because they've heard. Sin cannot be imputed unless there's a knowledge of sin, according to the scriptures. And it's sad to say that they get their nice attire and their different things and make their preparations to go. And they're not going to receive life. They're just going to receive judgment. And you say, well, Brother Rob, it can't be that way. Well, it is that way. Unless they truly, when they visit the house of the Lord, amen, they truly receive his spirit and filled with his Holy Ghost, because without his spirit, you're none of his, according to the word of God. And if they would receive that spirit while they're visiting the house of the Lord, then they'll fulfill the word of God, because you cannot have God's spirit without obedience. The spirit of obedience dwells within the spirit of Christ. And when you're obedient to the scriptures, the Bible said that you know you love God because you're obedient to God. Amen. And without the love of God, you cannot have him. And when you have the obedience to God, you do not forsake yourself of the assembling together. Amen. So you find yourself frequently visiting the house of God. On the other hand, there's people that frequent the house of God on a weekly basis and yet have not his spirit. Amen. So we understand the word and know the word by the grace of God. Amen. Hallelujah. I want you to turn with me over to the Gospel of Mark this morning. We're going to go over to the 16th chapter. It says, and when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, who shall roll away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. At entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him, as he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed, neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept. And when they had heard that he was alive and had seen of her, believed not. And that he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went out and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. Afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. You know, when we think of things by the Spirit of God, and look at things by the Spirit, we read some very awesome accounts right here in this 16th chapter. We read what we as Christian people set our whole faith and our whole life and everything towards, the belief in this resurrection. Do you realize that without the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, all of our religious endeavors and activities are in vain if we can't believe in the resurrection? You see, the Lord Jesus, when we think of the Son of Man part, done no different than any other man when he died. You see, the strength and the power wasn't in the death. There's something here that we should consider. As they said, when he walked among these two men there, it said that he appeared in another form. And this is something that is very misunderstood or overlooked in much teaching throughout Christianity. It said he appeared in another form. You know, through the ritualistics of Catholicism, the Catholic Church, that they have Jesus not appearing in another form. They keep him on the cross. They keep a crucifix of him in the shame. They got him stripped off. Do you realize that our God was a holy God? Do you realize that when you read the accounts of the way he was dressed and the way that he looked, he had said that his garment went all the way to his feet? He was a God, a holy God, and he dressed according to holiness, like the New Testament commands. But this is his convictions and his belief, and it was a shame when they took him to the cross of Calvary. When they took him to the cross of Calvary, brothers and sisters, there wasn't anything that could be more degrading to a man in that day and hour. He was treated like the murderers and the thieves. You understand that? And they took and stripped him off. And then the Catholic Church and their teachings, and through the years, they keep that symbol when the Bible said we do not know him after that image. The Bible commands us not to know Jesus after that image no more of the Son of Man that he came and appeared in. You realize that the Bible teaches that Jesus was the fullness of the Godhead bodily? It was the Spirit of God that dwelled in him in the fullness, not in measure. The Bible said that there's some 30, some 60, and 100 fold. There's a measure, brothers and sisters. And we press our way into the mark of perfection and the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. And we do this, but Jesus Christ was the fullness, brothers and sisters, of God. But the thing is that we read here that he appeared in another form. This is the form that we know him after, in the resurrection. You see, brothers and sisters, we as the church, we know him in the resurrection. You see, but there cannot be a resurrection unless there be a death. Not taking away of the brutality that he suffered and the things that he suffered on the cross. The Bible said that he was beaten beyond comprehension, his countenance marred to a point that he was not even recognizable. We don't take away that. We know that that is by his wounds, brothers and sisters, by his afflictions and the infirmities that he went through, is where we find healing, is where we find life. We know that it was necessary for him to go through the things of such a brutality for we could have life. But brothers and sisters, it was the resurrection. Do you realize that in that day and hour, crucifixion was what they'd done to common thieves and murderers? And there was others that went through those things that were beaten and killed. But you see, brothers and sisters, it was the resurrection. You know, when we think of resurrection and we think of an Easter service or whatever, and we look outside and we see that there's things resurrecting from the wintertime. There's seed down in the earth and these seeds in the ground that are coming forth and breaking out of the ground, and the flowers are showing their beauty in this time of year. And things are starting to come to life. The Bible talks about man being like the flower. It said that he rises up in his glory, you know, but then yet it fadeth away. But you see, when we get into the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, it fadeth not, brothers and sisters. It dies not. There was many beautiful things that took place in this resurrection. You say he bypassed the grave. I don't think so. The Bible teaches us very clear that he was put into that tomb. We think of Lazarus. When he was in the tomb, they said he stinketh by now. He was in there for 4 days. And when Jesus come along, this was before, when chronologically speaking, or when you set things into a timeline or an order, when Jesus went to Lazarus and he spoke to them, he said, I am the resurrection. This was before what we would say of what was witnessed as a resurrection. But he said, I am the resurrection. You see, when we start thinking of resurrections, brothers and sisters, we need to be dimensionally indoctrinated. There's so many times we give our life to the Lord and to the study of His scriptures, and we don't understand God. We don't understand who the Spirit of resurrection is. Many times we're confused in the Godhead when we think of resurrection. And many times we look at to the Lord Jesus as the resurrection and we're accurate, but we're waiting on a resurrection of ourselves. You know, we're thinking, well, I know one day I'm going to die and then I'll be resurrected. I know one day that I may lay this body down if the Lord tarries and I don't go through this metamorphosis or this transfiguration or this change, that there may be a day that I lay this body down and it goes into the grave, or death, you might say. And then one day, because of the hope and the faith I have in the Lord Jesus Christ, that I'm going to resurrect. But you see, brothers and sisters, that's a good faith, and it's good to have that kind of hope. And I don't find fault with you for that kind of a hope and that kind of faith. But you've missed what really the Lord Jesus Christ has in mind for you. You see, when Jesus walked among them, He said, I am the resurrection. He spoke that. This is what He told them. He said, I am the resurrection. What are you looking for, brothers and sisters? And when you've been crucified with Christ, that's the only death as a child of God will know or will see. You know, there's too many people that are looking for this grave, and they're looking for that thing, and the Bible does teach that it's appointed to all men. That is the way of man, brothers and sisters. But let me tell you something. There's a walk by the Spirit of God. It's in faith. And if we would come to walk in faith with the Lord Jesus Christ, then we enter into a covenant of the Spirit with Him. Yes, we're going to go through a blood covenant. There's a washing and a regeneration that comes through the bloodshed of the Lord Jesus Christ. And without that shedding of His blood to do away with beast life, brothers and sisters, you would never be partakers of the resurrection. The Bible said that Jesus was the firstborn of many brethren, and what He done was made it possible that we become one with Him. And we become one with Him in the resurrection. If you are a child of the resurrection, it's because you are bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. If you are a child of the resurrection, it's because you have received His Spirit. You see, brothers and sisters, without the infilling of God's Spirit, there is no life. There is no salvation without having His Spirit. His Spirit is the Spirit of salvation, the Spirit of power, the Spirit of life. He is the Prince of life. There is no way to have eternal life in Christ without His Spirit. He fulfilled that. Do you realize that in the resurrection that He made a promise? Even as He sent word with them, He said, go tell Peter, I'm going to Galilee. Go tell them that. And He appeared to them and He commissioned them. He said, go ye into all of the world, preaching the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. This was a commission, brothers and sisters, that He said. And that there again is a very misunderstood scripture. Our Protestant churches are hanging on to Catholicism. 321 AD Catholicism, they took and they had the Nicene Council, and they said, well, this is the way we're going to baptize, in the name Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, in the titles. That's there. You say, well, you're a oneness preacher. I preach more Trinity than most triune or Trinitarian preachers. I believe in God the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I believe in the Word, the water, blood, and Spirit. I believe the Word is made manifest and walked among men. Brothers and sisters. But the thing is I can't keep preaching Catholic doctrine and call myself a Protestant and take away the name of the Lord Jesus. That's the power of salvation. The Bible said there's no other name given among men that thou shalt be saved. How come when we talk to Trinitarian people, Not using that loosely, why they say, well, if I'm going to cast out a devil, I've got to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. They say, I adjure you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. When I pray for my food or pray, I say in Jesus' name. But when it comes to the remission of sin, we bypass that. It's because it's a trick of the devil. Through Catholicism, the Catholic Church. I told a Protestant preacher, I said, you're no more than a Catholic priest. And he got offended with me. I said, you're preaching Catholic doctrine. You're too ignorant to realize that. We got to stay with the scriptures. If you turn over to Matthew 28:19 this morning, it says in the commission, go ye into all the world, baptizing them in the name. Name, N-A-M-E. You say, this don't sound like a resurrection service. Let me tell you something. That is the resurrection. Amen. Without Jesus' name, there is no authority, no power, and you will not find the resurrection. Amen. There is no sin remitted without the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters. And without the remission of sin, there is no resurrection. There is no life. Amen. Because sin is the sting of death, according to the Word of God and the Scriptures. So when he said, go ye into all the world, baptizing them in the name. But if you'd back up two scriptures, I believe it's in 28:17, he said there was some that doubted there. Jesus never brought glory to himself. He always pointed it back to the spirit world, the Father. He said, go ye into all the world, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Well, what is that name? Now think about it, brothers and sisters. When the Bible says that Jesus came in the name of his Father, what was his name? Jesus. Again, I say so oftentimes when Philip came to the Lord Jesus and he said, when will we see the Father? And he said, how can you say you have not seen the Father when I've been with you so long? I and the Father are one. But brothers and sisters, the Bible teaches us very clearly that there's just one God. One faith, one baptism. There's not three gods. Sometimes we use the right terminologies. We say, oh, you know, I believe in one God, but three persons. A person is a personification. That makes three. There is a Father, Word, and Holy Ghost. Yes, just as you have a body, soul, spirit, but you are one person. I can't say because you have a body, soul, spirit that you're three people. Jesus, if he came in this image, brothers and sisters, what image did he come in? The image of sin. Oh, you can't talk like that. You need to read your Bible. That's what the Bible says. He came in the image of sin. That's why the Bible said we no longer know him after that. We know him in the resurrection, brothers and sisters, where we just read right here. He appeared in another form. It wasn't that manly part that was going to be smitten and beaten upon no longer and spit in his face and mocked and ridiculed. No longer we know him after that. We know him now in the power of the resurrection. We know him in his strength and in his power. He doesn't bow down to no principalities and no powers. He doesn't bow down to the things of this world. When your God in your religion offers you to bow down to the things of the world and the drugs and the addictions and the alcoholism and the fornication and all those things are greater than your God, you're not serving the same God I'm serving, because my God is power, amen. He is the power. And if you want to know him in the resurrection, then you'll know him in the power. If we went on down here and it said, these signs shall follow them that believe. Amen. Brothers and sisters, when you have the power to take up serpents, and we know what the serpent is. It is that old serpent that's going to be on your heels trying to take your life and put the poison of the asp in your blood. And we got the power to take him up because we have been partakers of the resurrection. We've been filled with the Holy Ghost, God's Spirit. Amen. But brothers and sisters, there's things we got to have in order. We got to have some things in order within our life and within the scriptures. If there's no other name given among men that we can have salvation, that name is Jesus. And when Lord Jesus gave them the commission in Matthew 28:19, those apostles that were there, the Bible says that all 11 of them was there. We know what happened to Judas that betrayed the Lord. It's very clear in 28:17 or 16 that all 11 of them were there. And these men knew him and knew his doctrine and knew his teaching. They said if they preach any other doctrine than what Jesus Christ preached, let them be accursed. Well, these men had heard this great commission. They fulfilled the great commission. They went and tarried there in Jerusalem for 10 days, amen. And this spirit of resurrection, this spirit of power, the promise of God, the Holy Ghost was given, amen. It's very clear in the scriptures. And when this thing was given, Brother Peter, the one that he asked right here, he said, I want you to go tell Peter that I'll be in Galilee. And this Peter stood there bold. The Bible said a man full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. He stood there bold before them. This Jesus Christ in whom you crucified. He was speaking about the resurrection, brothers and sisters. And he gave a great command right there. He said, be ye baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. If you'll go through the book of Acts and read the book of Acts, you will find, brothers and sisters, that every time there was an individual baptized, You say, is this a service about baptism? Brothers and sisters, when they take you down in that water and baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, that old creature goes down and you come up as a new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen. Old things have passed away and all things become new. There is a resurrection, brothers and sisters, in baptism. Amen. If baptism has to do with a burial, amen, and you need to take that man down and you bury him in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And he'll come forth in the power of the resurrection and a man full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And you say, do you believe that? Yes, sir, I do, because I'm a minister of faith and I believe in the Word of God and what the Scriptures say, and I fulfill the Word of God by walking forth with the demonstration and the power of His Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible said that some have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. You know, and we as Pentecostal think, well, that's them folks over there that, you know, don't believe in the power. They don't believe in healing. They don't believe in this. No, let me tell you what the power is, brothers and sisters. The power of the resurrection is to conform to the image of God. Amen. Hallelujah. And when you're full of the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, there will be a conformity in you and you'll be walking like Jesus walked among men. Amen. And you say, I don't believe, Brother Rob, that a man could do that. I happen to be one that does believe, because I have faith in God and He granted us the same Spirit. He said the same Spirit that raised up Christ Jesus from the dead shall dwell in your mortal bodies and raise you up from the dead. I'm not waiting for a resurrection, brothers and sisters, to come forth from the dead, because I'm already died. I've been crucified with the Lord Jesus Christ, and the life that I now live, according to Galatians, the 2nd chapter, 20th verse, it says, the life that I now live in this flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. Amen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. Amen. You may not see it with your natural eyes, and you say you're a man and you're aging and you're on your way to the grave, you might say, but I say you're observing lying vanities, because the spirit of youth, the spirit of power, the spirit of resurrection is dwelling within me, and it is the Spirit of God. Amen. And I am eternal in the Godhead, because He sealed me in and He hid me away in heavenly places, because I've already been resurrected. I've already came forth, and that old man is dead and no longer know me after the flesh, but know me by the Spirit of God. Let's give the Lord a hand. Amen. Hallelujah. Because He is the Spirit of resurrection. He is life. He is the Prince of life. Amen. He is the God of now. He is the God that is an I am. I'm not waiting on a resurrection. I'm one with the resurrection. Amen. If Jesus Christ was the firstborn of many brethren, like the Bible says, and when He walked among them and they were looking for a future hope of resurrection, Jesus simply looked there and said, I am the resurrection. Amen. And when you become one with Him in bone of His bone, brothers and sisters, you'll become one with Him in the resurrection. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible teaches us very clearly, brothers and sisters, that we've been caught away into heavenly places. What is that? That's a resurrection. If you're waiting for that old carcass to be thrown in a box, and that's what you're going to call the resurrection, you'll never see that until you have received the infilling of His Spirit and there has been a resurrection. Amen. This is what the earth is. We read here about this old stone that was over that tomb, over that sepulcher. That's what you are in your first birth. It's just an old bag of tomb. That's all it is, a sepulcher. You understand? The Bible said some are whitewashed sepulchers full of dead men's bones. But that old stony heart is going to have to roll back, and there's going to have to come forth the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. They're not going to have to start no longer knowing you after your first birth, after the image of the Adamic nature of Adam, and they're going to have to start knowing you in the resurrection, brothers and sisters, because you got the Spirit of Jesus Christ dwelling in you, and that Spirit's going to come forth and manifest itself in this present day and hour. You understand that? The Bible teaches that very clear. It said that the world is yearning and longing and waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, is what the Bible teaches. Brothers and sisters, I am no longer of this world. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. I've been partakers of the resurrection with the Lord Jesus Christ. I've received the hope of what He died for. When He hung His head on the cross of Calvary, He didn't say there was more to come. He said one thing. He said, it is finished. Amen. What was finished? Death was abolished, brothers and sisters. The last enemy of God is death, what the Bible says. And I pass from death unto life, because I'm a product of the resurrection. Amen. Don't you know where your hope is? Don't you know that it's in Jesus Christ, amen. And he said, it's finished, it is done, it's completed, and he has resurrected, amen. There ain't nothing else to look forward to, brothers and sisters, because we come one with him, amen, in that resurrection. We've already begun living eternal life. I'm not waiting on eternal life. I'm not waiting on some grave or some kind of death. I've already fulfilled that because I was crucified with Christ, and the life that I now live in this flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. That's what the Bible says. Amen. Where's your hope this morning? Where is your faith? What are you putting your trust in? Amen. Are you putting your trust in your religion? Are you putting your trust in your church attendance? Are you putting your trust in your financial giving? Or are you putting your hope and your faith and your trust in what Jesus said is already done? Amen. It's something that we need to do. We need to know who we are in Christ. We need to know what he said and what the promise is. If he says we're more than conquerors, and if the last enemy of God was death and it's been abolished and done away with, and the Bible said that we've passed from death unto life, what is that? That's resurrection, brothers and sisters. You understand? You say, what are you trying to tell me, preacher? I'm trying to tell you, listen close, that I cannot die because I've got the Prince of Life dwelling in me. I cannot die, amen. The sting of sin is death. And the Bible said, ye that are born of God cannot sin because his seed remaineth in you. Amen. That is the resurrection, brothers and sisters. And until that man dies, you'll never be partakers of life. You must be crucified with the Lord Jesus Christ. You must lay down your life and give up your ways and your thoughts and your ideas. And you better let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, that thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And you better get filled up with the spirit of power and the spirit of the Holy Ghost. And you need to go through this world bold as a lion, amen, because you are full of the demonstrating power of God, amen, because you've come forth out of this earthen vessel in a resurrection, that old hard heart rolled away, and the spirit of resurrection goes forth, amen. Hallelujah. With deliverance, amen. With authority, with a power, amen. Hallelujah. That is the power of the resurrection. Are you denying the power of God? Or have you conformed to the image of God, amen? What image am I going to conform to if I no longer know him after the image of the sin nature that he appeared in? I don't speaking of that. I'm speaking of the resurrection, brothers and sisters. We're numbered with him in the resurrection. We are children of the resurrection. The Bible said there's children of darkness and children of light, brothers and sisters. And we are the children of light. The Bible talks about these different kind of fleshes. It said beast flesh, fish flesh. And it goes on to talking about celestial, brothers and sisters. We become one with that. The world doesn't see it. We have not gone through the metamorphosis to the world can see the change, the collective change of this body. But we have already been caught away into heaven places, amen, because we are one in that spirit, amen. And this is why Paul said, I'd like to speak to you as unto spirituals. That's why. You see, brothers and sisters, faith being the substance of things hoped for, and things not seen. No, you don't see it with these eyes. No, you don't hear it with these ears. I'm speaking to you by faith this morning. I'm speaking to you by what Jesus has already done. Christian people are living below their means because they're going by eyesight and what they hear. And they're looking for all these things in the natural realm, brothers and sisters. That realm was done away with when Jesus Christ was crucified. We are now walking in another covenant of spirit. The spirit things are invisible. Do you understand? But they manifest in what is visible. This is why we got to yield our members over to godliness and holiness. The only Jesus that people are going to see in this day and hour, listen closely, the only Jesus that the people in this day and hour are going to see is the Jesus in you. This is why you have to walk according to godliness and holiness and fulfill the word. The Bible said that the fivefold ministry is sent for one thing, is perfecting the saints. But then Jesus said he's perfected us once and for all by the works of Christ at Calvary. See, there's two different dimensions there. I can't perfect you in the spirit. He's already done that. The Bible said that he put your name down in the book of life before the world ever was. That was in the spirit. The Bible said that he was crucified before the world ever was. That's in the spirit. He was resurrected before then too. That's all in the spirit. I was crucified with him before the world ever was. That's in the spirit. Do you understand that? This is where life is. But you got to learn to serve God by the Spirit. So then what does this body have to do with corruption and death? It's appointed unto man once to die. Well, then I don't understand the purpose of that. You take that body and you bury it and crucify all of its natural deeds and desires, and you let the spirit of resurrection take and dwell within this. This is the life of faith, walking by faith. And when you let Jesus Christ live and dwell within your mortal body and he lives that thing, it'll be met and be partakers of the resurrection. That's the transfiguration the Bible calls. The church world uses a term rapture, which isn't a biblical term. It's not found nowhere in the Bible. But according to the Word of God and according to the Scriptures, it says to wit the redemption of the body, or it also says the transfiguration. Amen. And the thing is, brothers and sisters, that is a collective change to this body. Those ones of the forefathers where the Bible said they didn't die. It doesn't talk about them dying. It said they went to sleep. Amen. That's what Jesus said when he came to Lazarus' tomb. He said, oh no, he's asleep. And they said, oh no, he stinketh by now. He's been there 4 days, and the Lord said, no, he's asleep. Amen. There is a difference, brothers and sisters, because death has been conquered, and we as the elect of God, the children of God, cannot die. Amen. You need to believe that. Quit seeking after eternal life. Start realizing that if you're the elect of God and born of God, that you are eternal life. Quit seeking after the resurrection and realize that when you're a blood-bought, born-again child of God, you are the resurrection. Amen. And that you have been sent forth. The Bible said ambassadors for Christ. Amen. That means that you are not of this world. You are not of America. You are not of this world. You are a new creature in Christ. You are an ambassador for Christ sent forth into this world. Condescend to men of a less estate, walking among men about the Father's business. Amen. Do you realize when you have the Spirit of Jesus Christ dwelling in you that you are about the same thing that He was here for? You're walking among men to bring the good news of the gospel and to bring the hope of salvation and to bring forth the resurrection, and you bring forth the Spirit of love, the Spirit of life, the Spirit of compassion alive, dwelling forth out of your members and comes forth, and it's not seeking after your own, but it's seeking after the welfare of others. That's what Jesus came to do, amen. And that's what you need to do as a Christian when you profess Christianity. You need to be seeking after the lost. The Bible said, ye that win souls are wise, amen. Hallelujah. So that's what we need to be doing. You say, oh, but I believe I'm a Christian. I believe that I'm saved. I believe that, you know, I was Christian when I was a child. They sprinkled water on me. I said the sinner's prayer when I was 12 years old and asked Jesus into my heart. The Bible said, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, thou shalt be saved. But the Bible also says that man's heart is continually evil and continually wicked, and man does not even know his own heart. So how are you going to depend on to know if you even believed in your heart? You better find you a Holy Ghost filled preacher that'll take you down to the water hole in the authority and the demonstration of the Holy Ghost, and he baptized you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. Because if your sin is not remitted, God doesn't even hear your prayer. The Bible said that his ears are closed to the cry of the sinner. Amen. You better find a Holy Ghost filled preacher that believes in the Word of God and get you baptized in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. That you could be partakers in the resurrection, and you can get them ears opened up and get the shucks off your eyes, that you could see good when good comes and walk in the demonstration and the power of a living God. Hallelujah. That is resurrection, brothers and sisters. And when you're walking in the resurrection, you're walking in demonstration and you're walking in power, and you are an overcomer, and you're overcoming the things of the world, the lust of the world, the pride of life. You're overcoming the things of the addictions of this world. There isn't anything that could be held to the charge of God's elect according to the Word of God, because you have overcome those things. You've put them under your feet and you've treaded on those things. Amen. And there ain't nothing. When you hear a Christian say, well, I just can't. I can't get off the tobacco. Oh, I just can't get off the alcohol. Oh, I just can't get off the drugs. Oh, I just can't help myself from lusting. I can't help that. Say, that man is weak. And let the weak say that they're strong. And you better start girding yourself up in the Spirit and the power of salvation. And you better start taking authority over the things of the world. Amen. The Bible said, come out of the world and be a separate people. If you think you got salvation while you're frolicking in this world, I'm here to serve you notice this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus and the love of God. You're lost on your way to hell. There is no salvation in the world. Salvation is out of the world. You got to come out of the world and be a separate people. If you think you're going to be a Christian and living in the worldly ways with the lust of the world, you're just fooling yourself. You believe the lie and you're damned. Amen. You better get out of the world. And you say, what are we supposed to do, Brother Robert? Are we supposed to go and say some fancy prayer? And are we just supposed to go and shut ourselves in some little closet somewhere? And we can't do that? Brothers and sisters, let me tell you, Jesus walked among the people of this world, and he was not of this world. He wasn't looking for the things of this world. His kingdom is not of this world, brothers and sisters. This kingdom right here, this earthly kingdom, is the kingdom of Satan. Do you understand that? The Bible says clearly that he is the prince and the power of the air, and he is the God of this world. this world. Amen. We're not looking to save this world, brothers and sisters. Amen. We're getting the elect of God and we're pulling them out of this world. Amen. And there will be a day that the Lord Jesus Christ, not returning in the same form that He walked among men in, but He's coming back in the power of resurrection and the strength, brothers and sisters, to the Jew. He's not coming for the Gentiles. You understand? He's coming for the Jew. And He'll set this world in order and it'll come up right. And that's for the Jew. But we are the spiritual Jew. Today's our day. Now is for us, brothers and sisters. We're not waiting for Jesus to set up some kingdom here. I'll tell you, that's the way a lot of the churches is preaching. Oh, we're waiting for and longing for that day of the Lord that He's returning. He's already came for us. He told them right there. He said He promised them. If you would read, brothers and sisters, He promised, go ye into Jerusalem and tarry until you receive power. What is the power? It's God. There's no other power. He is the power, brothers and sisters. No other power outside of Him. He fulfilled His promise there in Pentecost. Don't you realize that? That was the returning of the Lord. That's the returning of the Lord. What are you looking for? He fulfilled it. He came. Has your God left you here, forsaken you for 2,000 years? Are you waiting? The Bible said a deferred hope sickeneth the heart. That's why you see so many falling away in the churches today. Because they're saying, oh, God's coming. Just hang on. God's coming. Oh, God's coming. Oh, we got this hope. We got this faith. He's coming. He ain't coming for you. He's already come. He is the resurrection. Amen. He's here. He's now. He's the I am. Hallelujah. Let's give Him a hand. Hallelujah. You say, well, you're taking my faith away and everything. No, I'm trying to build your faith to know that He fulfilled the promise. He's already come. Oh, but Brother Rob, what do we got hope for? We are the hope. But Brother Rob, you can't say that. I can say that because I no longer live. And it's Christ living and dwelling in me. I, as a man, is not your hope. I could do nothing for you as a man. You understand that? Oh, wretched man that I am. Who's going to deliver me from this body of death? Brothers and sisters, this old wretched man, by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I took him to a watery grave of baptism, and he was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. Sin is the sting of death. Don't you realize that when Jesus said it's finished, that He overcomes sin? Do you believe that? Do you believe when He went to the cross of Calvary that sin was done away with? Do you believe that? If it wasn't done away with, then somebody help me and tell me when it's going to be done away with. If He said it's finished, what was finished? The finishing of death, brothers and sisters, it was conquered. That's why He said that we are the Prince of Life. In Him, with Him. Do you understand that? We become one with Him in life. He's the Prince of Life. We become one with Him in it. We become one with Him in the resurrection. We're not talking future. We're talking present day truth, brothers and sisters. We need to believe this. You see, when we think of faith, you know that you can't please God without faith. What is faith? Are you waiting for a substance to have faith? No, faith brings the substance. Let me give you an example here this morning. Many of you are Pentecostal people. You believe in healing. Amen? We believe in healing. Amen? I mean, we're not ashamed of it. Hey, hallelujah. Our God's a healer. Hallelujah. The Bible said, let the weak say that they're strong. Does that make a man a liar? If I come to church and I feel just a little weak, and I get up here before you and I say, oh man, I'm weak. See, that's not what the Bible teaches me to do. I'm going to confess strength. Hallelujah. By the spirit of resurrection, by the power of God. If I'm sick, brothers and sisters, I'm not going to confess sickness. I'm going to confess, brothers and sisters, the healing virtue of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And I'm going to confess that. And I'm going to believe that. And by me confessing that in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, that faith will become a substance. That's what the Bible says. It will become a substance. Now, brothers and sisters, when do we not speak faith about eternal life? The Bible said He'll give you the fruit of what your thoughts are. That's what the Bible teaches us. He'll give you the fruit of your thoughts. And if you think that you are death, if you think that you are a sinner, then you're a sinner. If you think that death has not been abolished yet, then it hasn't for you. Let's talk about Baptist doctrine for a moment. And Pentecostal doctrine. Just using these two as an example. I don't want to offend nobody. Because I'm both. I believe in baptizing. Makes me Baptist. Because I believe in the commission. I believe in Pentecost. Because I believe that His Spirit has been given. Amen. I believe in the gifts of God. So that would make me line up with most of our Pentecostals. But then yet, we might have a Baptist teacher or something that says, well, God doesn't heal today. That was for back then. That was for the disciples and the apostles. You know, and God's different today. That's what they're telling you when they say He doesn't heal, isn't it? When our Bible says that He's the same today, yesterday, and forever. So if I'm going to tell you that He doesn't heal today, I just made this God's word a lie. And I'm not trying to hammer down on it, but I'm using this as an example. But you realize that God isn't a healer to them. Do you realize they don't receive healing? You know why? You say, oh, it's because they're Baptists. No, it's because of unbelief. It's because their confession is that he doesn't believe or he doesn't heal. And if he's going to give you the fruit of your thoughts and your thoughts is that my God is not the same today and my God is not a healer today, then that is exactly what he is to them. But you see, I believe that my God is the same today, yesterday, and forever. And I believe that he is a healer, amen. And I receive the children's bread, which is healing, amen, because I believe and he'll give me the fruit of what my thoughts are. You see how we could limit God? The Bible says that we have this authority and power to bind things in heaven and on earth. And you say, well, I don't know if I believe that, but you're doing it. How do you bind up things in heaven? If I ask you this morning, I said, how many of you have bound things up in heaven before? You'd probably ponder and say, well, I'm not sure. Well, I'll raise my hand. I have. You say, but Brother Rob, what are you talking about? I'm not talking about the power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about the power of unbelief for a moment here. Do you realize that if you do not have forgiveness for your fellow brother, according to the Word of God, then you bind up forgiveness that's coming from God in heaven? Do you realize you just bound a heavenly thing? Are you listening to me? If you cannot have forgiveness, then you bound up God's forgiveness. You bound a spiritual thing up, a heavenly thing. And there's a twofold way to look at those things, brothers and sisters. We can bind principalities, but do you think you're going to take this demonic spirits and you're going to tie them up with a knot and you're going to get them all tied up and bound down? You're wrong. There's going to be a day that he'll be put in a pit for 1,000 years. But brothers and sisters, them spirits in the dispensation of grace right now, in this chronological time, we might say of grace. And when we look at that time, he has his right to go to and fro. Amen. And he does. And he's seeking to who he could devour. He's like a roaring lion seeking who he could devour. You're not going to bind him and stop him. You could rebuke him and you could take authority over him. Now listen closely to me. If we could bind him, then why don't we as the church of God get together and pray and get him in the pit now for he'll quit taking souls to hell. But you see, we're in a dispensation of grace right now, brothers and sisters. And when the son of perdition is revealed, brothers and sisters, them that are not walking in the spirit of resurrection with the spirit of God will be revealed with the son of perdition and be numbered with him. And they will be taken in the white throne judgment and cast into eternal damnation. So when we think of resurrection and the fulfillment or the transfiguration to the body, there's also a terrible day and time for many. Right then, when the blood comes off the mercy seat. So we need to understand some things here. We need to understand God. We need to understand the operation of God. We need to understand him in his power and the authority that we have in him. Do you realize people are ashamed to speak the authority and the power that they have got in God that has been given unto them? They're afraid to speak his word. When Jesus was among them and they were taking up stones to stone him, he looked at them and said, for what good works have I done that you're going to take these stones up to stone me? And what did they say? They said, it's not for the good works that you've done. It's because you're a mere man making yourself to be God. Was he God? Yes, he was God. If you can't believe that Jesus is God, you have no hope then. There's no faith in your life. There's no believing in you. You cannot be partakers of eternal life and the resurrection. God with us, Emmanuel. Brothers and sisters, when Philip asked him, when will we see the Father? He said, how can you say you have not seen the Father when I've been with you so long? You understand that? You see, let me talk to you for just a second about some of your Trinity teaching. You say, you're not Trinity? I probably teach more triune than you do. I remember when they came and talking to Brother Paul and he was trying to indoctrinate them on tongues and things. He said, I probably speak in tongues more than any of you. But he was seeing a problem. He needs to come back and preach to our Pentecostal churches for a time. They're putting the power in tongue and not the power in the spirit. You understand what I'm saying? The power's in the Holy Ghost, brothers and sisters. Well, right there, you read it today. It said that these believers will speak in tongues. Hallelujah, and I do. Amen. I'm not contesting the scriptures. Sometimes I'll contest your doctrine. So when we think about this and we start looking and you say, well, then who's the Father of Jesus? Well, it's obvious. It's the Spirit, you say. But the Bible said it was the Holy Ghost that overshadowed Mary to bring forth Jesus. So is the Holy Ghost the Father? You see, it kind of throws a little bit of a clinch in some of your doctrines. You see, it shouldn't though. Because let me tell you something. If you're going to talk about it and you go read about it in 1 John over there, it says Father, Word, and Holy Ghost. And it said these three are one. These three are one. You see, brothers and sisters, you can't take and snuff Jesus out and kill him. Now listen to me. Some of you say that the reason we're talking about resurrection is because God died on the cross of Calvary. How many of you believe that? I hope I don't get no hands raised, because God cannot die. He's the Prince of Life. There was a sacrifice on the cross of Calvary, and it was the Son of Man. The Bible said he made himself twain, both Lord and Christ, both Son of God and Son of Man. God cannot die. So what happened, Brother Rob? Some say that Mary is the mother of God. And the Bible very clearly teaches that he has no father nor mother, has no beginning and no end. Some say that God's beginning was right there in the manger, and that was his beginning, but that violates the scriptures. That was the beginning of the Son of Man that the Spirit of God came and dwelled in. You understand? And if you would have took the Spirit of God outside of that Spirit of the Son of Man, it would have been death. There was no life outside of that. The Bible clearly says this, that if you would take the Spirit absent from the body, it would be death to that body. And that's what happened. It was the bodily part that died and gave up the ghost on the cross of Calvary. But the Spirit of power and the Spirit of life, the Spirit of Christ, amen, the Spirit of resurrection, brothers and sisters, went into hell to deliver the captive and to set them free, brothers and sisters. And it resurrected and it come forth in a new form. Amen. When it picked up that old body of dust out of that tomb, it changed it. You understand that? That's why we don't no longer know him after that image. We know him in the resurrection. That's why we don't put a crucifix hanging from the window in our car and put it in a picture of our houses. That's an abomination in the eyes of God. Amen. You understand that was the most shameful thing that a God could have ever went through, to be crucified. Well, we want to remember him. The Bible says, don't remember him that way. Let me say something here. It might sound a little crude to you, but I'm going to say something to give you an example. If your wife was raped and ravished by some filthy beast of a man, and he come and forced his way into your home and ravished her, and in this detrimental time, or this devastating time, she brings forth a child. And you love the child and you raise the child as your own. That's wonderful. That's commendable. But are you going to put pictures of the violation and your wife being ravished and beaten all over the walls to remember how the child got there? No, because it's a shame. That's what happened at the cross of Calvary, brothers and sisters. It was a degrading thing, the most terrible thing that could ever happen. And it's because he came and did that for you and I, that we could have life. Yes, we look back to the cross of Calvary. We look back to the bloodshed of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we remember the resurrection. That's what brought the power of salvation, the power of life. Amen. Yes, it's the blood. But the blood is so misunderstood in our churches today, in our Protestant churches. They keep pleading the blood and pleading the blood and pleading the blood. The blood is what brought you. If you would understand a natural birth, and you understand a little baby, it's going to come, brothers and sisters. When that womb breaks, there's going to be water and there's going to be blood. But then there's a life that comes forth. And I understand the need of the bloodshed of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll be a preacher that continues to preach the blood of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. But the blood of Jesus had its work and it's finished. That was the blood covenant. But now we've stepped into a new covenant. And the new covenant is spirit. And that's what we are. We are in the spirit and we are the spirit of resurrection. That's what we need to be preaching, brother. Brothers and sisters, the Bible said, quit laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. Quit pleading the blood of Jesus every service. The Bible commands us not to do that. The Bible very clearly tells us that once you've came to the knowledge of the truth and you've tasted of this heavenly world and of this goodness of God of the world, that you might say to come. And once you've been partakers of that and you continue on in sin, the Bible said there remaineth no more sacrifice for willful sin. So it ain't going to do you no good to plead the blood of Jesus for your willful sin. The Bible said you have one thing to look forward to, the fiery indignation of God. When you believe that you can continue to sin and continue to live like a dog and a pig in the world and go partake of the world, and you're going to keep on doing that, and you're going to come to church and say, oh God, forgive me. And then you're looking for another drink, another snort, another woman, another man, and you come back to church and say, oh God, forgive me. You're a Catholic. You're in the church. You Protestants find fault with the Catholics. Oh, they got their little confession booth. And they go out there and they live like dogs and pigs. Jesus said it. Does it offend you a little this morning? Oh, you sensitive little thing, I'm sorry. Jesus said you're pigs and swines. And he said you return to the mire and you're like a dog lapping up your own vomit. That's what you are when you're in the world. Wake up and realize that. Quit trying to wash yourself in the blood and wash the vomit off. You need to get cleansed with the power, hallelujah, of God, amen, by the blood of Jesus, and come forth into resurrection and come out of the slime pit. There's no salvation for you to keep mulling around in the mire. I don't like smelling the stench of the vomit on you when you lap it up, when you keep going back in the world. Don't you know that we are partakers of the resurrection with the power of God? That we can come out of the world and be a separate people. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, you've offended me. Good. You needed to be offended and you get born again. Now, I said the Protestant churches ain't no different. Some of them. They'll sit and find fault with the Catholic church. They got a little confession booth. And the little guy goes in there. Oh, Father, forgive me. I sucked down too much tequila last night. Oh, Father, forgive me. I went over to a buddy's and I smoked a joint or two. Oh, Father, forgive me. I was at work and the secretary came on to me, man, and I just couldn't handle myself. Oh, I'm just not perfect, you know. And oh, please help me, this and that. Oh, well, count your beads and say your Hail Marys. It ain't no different what the Protestant preachers are doing when they keep pulling you back into the altars and they keep having you born again and born again. Now, let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. When you're born of God, the Bible said His seed remaineth in you. And you cannot sin because His seed is power. And when that seed comes forth, it's the resurrection power of a living God. And it gives us the power to overcome the things of the world. And if your God don't give you the power to overcome, you're not serving the same God I'm serving. I'm serving Jesus Christ. He is the power. Hallelujah. And He'll give you the power to overcome the world. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. My God delivers from drugs. He delivers from alcohol. He delivers from lust, fornication. He delivers from bitterness and anger and strife and malice and backbiting. My God is power. Hallelujah. And quit trying to make my God weak. Amen. Paul, he preached to the people there and he said, you're serving an unknown God. America's serving an unknown God. They better find Jesus Christ in His resurrection and in His power of His salvation. Amen. That they could walk as overcomers. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You say you're going to get beside yourself, preacher. Amen. I already have. Hallelujah. My God's not weak. I don't like it when you take your religion and you make my God weak. And when you say that He ain't doing it today, He is strong. He is powerful, brothers and sisters. Don't make Him weak. He is a powerful God. He is a present day help in your need today. He'll fill you with His Holy Ghost and fill you with His power and the demonstration of His Spirit. The Bible said they have a form of godliness denying the power. What they do is they say, oh, I accepted Jesus. I said the sinner's prayer, Billy Graham's crusade in 1911 or whatever it was. I don't know. But they said that and then they just go on. But where's this powerful God since then? Oh, but I got filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues in 1945. What have you done since then? Amen. You need to be walking in the demonstration and the power of God. Hallelujah. And go forth. You know, I think it's wonderful to say the sinner's prayer. I think it's wonderful when you get filled with the Holy Ghost. I think it's wonderful when you speak in tongues or prophesy or get a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge. But brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. When you receive His Spirit, and the Bible teaches very clear, you're about His business. And if you ain't got time for God, then you ain't full of His Spirit. Amen. It separates you. When the Bible said, come out of the world and be a separate people, it separates you from the world. When your religion offers the world, when your religion offers everything the world's got, when your religion offers the rock and rollers and it offers all the sports and all the things of this world, it ain't come out. You need to get out of it. You have no part of it. Oh, but I like it over here at my church because we could frolic and we could have this and we go to church and we feel the power of God. Man, we speak in tongues and we prophesy. There's people healed. And man, then we go off to the ball games. We got the big screen TV for we could watch these things and all these kind of events. Brothers and sisters, you might feel the Spirit of God. You might get the goosebumps on the back of your neck. Your hair might stand up. You might speak in tongues and you might prophesy. That doesn't vindicate you that you have His Spirit. Because the Bible says, said, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. What is all flesh? All flesh is corrupt. All flesh is wicked. And he said, I'll pour my spirit out upon all flesh. And there's people that are prophesying and dancing in the spirit and speaking in tongues that do not have God's spirit. It's the rain coming on the just and on the unjust. Do you understand that? People try to vindicate. I was a Pentecostal preacher for years. And they get into service. They start speaking in tongues. Oh, he's got the Holy Ghost. And he goes and lights up. He goes and he smokes. And he goes and drinks and he curses. That ain't a man with the Holy Ghost. My Holy Ghost that I'm filled with is the power of salvation. The power to conform to God. Amen. You say, preacher, what's wrong with you? I'm talking about life, and you've been lied to too long because Satan is the father of all lies. And the Bible said you believe a lie and you're damned. My God and his power and his salvation keeps you out of the bed of defilement. You understand that when you call yourself a Christian and you're in adultery and fornication, you're deceived and you're lost. When you're sowing strife and discord among the brethren, you're lost. You know, wake up. What is the power for? It's the power to conform. And to conform to the image of God. And when the deeds of your life aren't conforming to what you think Jesus would be doing. I was dealing with a man that was smoking. I said, close your eyes. I said, can you see Jesus walking down the Sea of Galilee? And you look over at him. And you say, there's the Prince of Life. There's the power of salvation. There's my God, the eternal God, walking with me. And you look over and he's got an old cigarette hanging out of his mouth. Does that fit in your Jesus? It don't fit in mine. Hey, Jesus, let me ask you a question. Gunk, 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 gunk. Puts up the old 16-ounce tall boy. Gunk, 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 gunk. Yeah, man. What you got to say? And don't picture him that way, do you? Then what makes you think then you can do that? If you're to be a Christian, it's to be Christ-like. And if you can't see Jesus doing that, what makes you think you can do that? Oh, but that's why he died, Brother Rob. It's because he knows I'm unperfect. He said he made you perfect. That is the spirit of his power's perfection. He said he's perfected you at the cross of Calvary. And he said he made you perfect. Does your preacher, when you go to church, say, oh, nobody's perfect? Does your preacher tell you, oh, you can't judge? How many of you heard that from the sacred desk before? Oh, you can't judge. This is the house of God. And the Bible said judgment begins in the house of God. And if I don't bring judgment in the house of God, then I got your blood on my hands. Amen. I'm called. The Bible said, ye that are spiritual, judge all things. They take one scripture out of context in Matthew. One scripture. You know why they do it? It's the same scripture. When you go over and read in the Bible, and when Jesus came across Galilee and got out of the boat, and them old devils cried out of that individual and said, oh, are you here to judge us before our time? And that's what these preachers are teaching from the sacred desk or from their pulpits to pull them into the pits of hell. That's why they call it a pulpit. It's because they're pulling them into hell. They're saying, you can't judge. That's a lie. Mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters, you better start judging all things. Amen. When somebody's coming over to court, your little girl, you better start making some kind of godly judgment. You understand that? The Bible said two can't walk together unless they be in agreement. You better be making some judgment before you walk with somebody, before you be partakers with them, because you'll be partakers in their sin. When the presidents of the United States of America, the former one, when he started walking with sodomites and pedophiles, he said, I'm one with them and he'll stand the judgment of sodomy before the living God. You better be careful who you're walking with, who you're fellowshipping with, and what you are of. Amen. Come out of the world. Be a separate people. Get born again. Get filled with the Holy Ghost and the demonstration and the power of God. Amen. You say, that's the kind of resurrection service we need. And I say, yay and amen. Hallelujah. Let's all stand together and let's give the Lord a hand like we love him and we're thankful for him. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My God's not weak. I'm not going to submit to your weak God doctrine. I'm not going to submit to your doctrines of your powerless God. I'm not going to submit to your doctrine saying that we sin and sin every day. That's some kind of oxymoron, isn't it? How in the world can you call yourself a saint of God if you call yourself a sinner? Jesus came and died for my sin, and he put my sin as far as the east and the west, and I'm born of God. And the Bible said, ye that are born of God cannot sin, because his seed remaineth in you. And the Bible goes right on to say, read it for yourself in 1 John the 3rd chapter, and it says that ye that sin are of the devil. That's what the Bible says. And I'm not going to teach you that you're sinners. I'm going to teach you that you are born after the sin nature of Adam. And I'm going to teach you that you need to come to the revelation and the understanding that you were born as a sinner with a sentence of death. But I'm going to teach you when you came to Jesus Christ as your God and your salvation and your Savior that you've passed from death unto life, because the sting of sin is death. And if you pass from death unto life, that means that that sin was done away with. Jesus said, it's finished. It's completed. He done away with sin. Amen. Either you're a sinner or you're a saint. Which one is it? I claim to speak by faith in the living God that I'm a blood-bought, born-again child of God, received the Spirit of life, and that I'm born of Him. Amen. And His seed remaineth in me. Hallelujah. When you come to an understanding that you know that you are a sinner in your first birth, then you need to take and repent of your sins, and you need to ask God to take those things away. And when you ask Him, you believe in faith that He does away with those things and puts them as far as the east is from the west. And when you believe that, your confession will change, and you're not going to confess weakness, you're going to confess power. You're not going to confess sickness, but you're going to confess healing and deliverance. And you're not going to confess that you're a sinner, you're going to confess that you are the elect saint of God and been washed by the blood of Jesus and resurrected with Jesus Christ, and that you're standing on a rock, hallelujah, and you're there to stay hid in with Christ in the heavens. Amen. That's what the Bible says, and I'm just crazy enough to believe it. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's give Him one more hand. Hallelujah. You don't mind going to the rock and roll concert when they sing some song? Give Him a hand. I'm giving the Lord Jesus a hand this morning, because He is the resurrection. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's sing a song. Amen. If you want to know what I've been drinking, amen, I'll tell you what, it's good. You need a drink of it. You come drink of what I've been drinking of, you'll never thirst ever, ever again. Hallelujah. I think Brother Ernest has been drinking of some of that stuff before. Amen. Hallelujah. And you say, hey, Brother Rob, what is it? I say, I'm drunk, amen, in the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. I've been drinking, amen, of that wine. Hallelujah. That eternal salvation. Amen. Hallelujah. They saw Him there on the day of Pentecost. They said, them men are drunk on some new wine. Hallelujah. You ever drank any of that stuff? It's good. I'll tell you what, when you get a hold of some of that, you won't want none of that other old stuff. Amen. Amen. You wake up the next morning, your head's a-pounding, and your old stomach don't feel so good, and you think, oh my. But let me tell you something. When you wake up after drinking with Jesus, amen, hallelujah, you got a new spring in your foot, amen, hallelujah. And your head ain't pounding, and condemnation ain't beating down your door, and you're just rejoicing in Him, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's sing a song together. Amen.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
If you want to know what this preacher's been talking about this morning, maybe you didn't hear clearly this morning. Maybe the shucks didn't come off your eyes to see. But I invite you. When the apostles ran across some of them, and they asked Him about the Holy Ghost, they said, man, we never even heard of such a thing. And they laid hands on Him, amen. And they imparted the Holy Ghost, hallelujah. If you've never been partakers of His Spirit, and you've never been filled with His Holy Ghost and His promises and His power, I invite you this morning to come into an altar this morning, amen, hallelujah. And just repent before the Lord and say, God, have mercy on me, a sinner, and fill me with Your Spirit of resurrection that I can walk in the demonstration and the power of life. Hallelujah. Praise You, Jesus. Do I have any in here this morning that don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? If I do, these altars are open for you. Amen.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org. Or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina, 27261. We, the brothers and sisters at Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come and worship with us. Our services are on Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Wednesday night at 7 p.m., and we also have a Friday night service at 7 p.m. We are located at 304 Green Oak Drive, just off Highway 62 in Archdale. Thanks again, and may God richly bless you.